MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Chatting with Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss. Gary, appreciate your time today. You apparently are locked down in Zurich because, well, things are happening in markets. And I want to touch on that. I mean, you're an old hand, a trader. We're all old hands at pandemic. We're now almost approaching 2 years of it. The new variant has created, I suppose, heightened uncertainty, just as my sense was the market was kind of getting to the point where we were kind of comfortable. We kind of thought things were going to all be okay. Now suddenly we're reminded that there is a pandemic out there. How do you and your team sort of play this new uncertainty?
Yeah, thanks, Simon. Looking at the pandemic, it's interesting. We've said repeatedly that I don't think a pandemic announcement is necessarily going to send the market spiraling into the lows that we saw, you know, early 2020.
Yeah.
The idea that this is now something that the market understands, and because markets price in, you know, known information, I don't think you're going to see the level of sell-off. It does seem, though, that markets have gotten a little bit ahead of themselves. As you say, the pandemic is still around. It is still having a real-world impact, as so many people are feeling as travel plans are forced to be changed. But it does seem it's not so much the Omicron variant that's causing the sell-off, that maybe this market was looking for a reason to sell off, and the Omicron variant has given it a good reason to. We've been a little bit cautious. Stocks have looked a little bit extended. People are kind of buying into the idea that we're going to have a Christmas rally and everything is going to be fine. But markets did look a little bit extended. We were buying aggressively for clients that were, you know, supposed to be in equity, that have a tactical asset allocation into equity that October dip period. But we have taken our foot off the pedal, you know, in November, looking for a little bit more weakness. I think the idea that you're definitely going to get a rally into December when you've got, you know, a slightly more hawkish Fed, you've got, real world concerns of how governments are reacting to this latest announcement around Omicron. And that's really key. All indications, I'm not a virologist. I don't take this as gospel, but it does look like this variant is going to be less fierce and kind of to use the term that the WHO used, but more contagious, and that means that it might not necessarily be as dangerous, but the way that governments are reacting is going to impact supply chains. It is going to impact the real world economy and markets, I think, just taking their foot off the gas now, and for us, I think the concern isn't so much around, you know, the supply chain disruptions. I mean, I think businesses are learning how to deal with a world that is in and out of lockdowns. It's far more to do with the inflation that's coming into the system and the removal of that very ultra loose monetary policy and how that's going to affect stocks and your asset allocation and at least your sector allocation. So for us, you know, the idea of going buying into these very high priced tech stocks instead of kind of the more value plays, more traditional plays, things like banks that will benefit from a tightening interest rate cycle. I think that's where the value at the moment.
Yeah, I take your point on that. The market is expensive by all measures. Well, certainly big parts of it, the tech space. And some opportunity coming through here. And no center rally. I was actually chatting it on the weekend and we were saying, really, can we rally strongly from here? I want to quickly touch on Twitter. Jack Dorsey announcing he's stepping down pretty much effective immediately. He was only half a CEO because he was also doing, of course, Square, which is the other company. Twitter is it's a platform I love. It's they've got, what, almost 200 million monetizable users on there. I mean, is there an investment case for it, however? I mean, it's one thing having users, but is it something where you've been allocating to, or perhaps other social medias that you've preferred?
Yeah, Twitter is an interesting company, and I agree, a fantastic platform. The problem is, if you're looking at it as an investment, it's been more difficult to monetize its client base than other big platforms like Google and Facebook. And one of the reasons for that is just the amount of information that they collect on the, as you call it, the MDAUs, the monetizable daily active users. So they, you know, because they don't have that pool that that lake of information that the Facebooks and the Googles have. I think investors don't, they've just struggled to appeal to advertisers in the same way that Facebook and Google has. That's not to say that they're not growing aggressively. You know, if you look at their revenue profile, they are managing to grow extremely well. But then it comes back to the valuation argument. You know, if you look at Twitter compared to something like Facebook, Twitter is a lot more expensive. The market pricing and a lot more growth in Twitter. We haven't been a buyer of Twitter. I mean, our preferred, you know, if you want to call it social media platform stock, has been Google. Mm-hmm. Even though, yes, it's search, but all of them are generating revenue via the advertising model. Now, we've held Facebook in the past. We've cut it from portfolios, so we've really doubled down on Google. I mean, at one point, we're sitting at about 8% of our global equity portfolios, and it really has been the right move. So if you look at it over the last 5 years, Twitter's done around 141%, so it has beaten the S&P 500. Mm-hmm. But Facebook done 181%, Google up 271%. So Google has been a clear winner in the space. And I think it's clear. It's just, you know, if you look at the institutional coverage of the likes of Google, I mean, it's just such a well-supported stock. Everyone has this thing on a buy, and for good reason. Whereas Twitter, you know, again, it's facing one, the difficulty of monetizing those users with less information. It's also got all the regulatory and political pressures. I mean, obviously banning Donald Trump is, there's also lawsuits that they're facing. So in the Q3 numbers, they were also, it took a financial impact from a lawsuit based on misleading engagement metrics. So it's a difficult, like a platform business is a difficult business to run. And if you get it right, there's huge upside. But it is a very, very difficult space. It's a very competitive space. And, you know, one of the things that we know, looking at how Mark Zuckerberg, uses Facebook, it's all about, you know, kind of turning that dial between how much do you want to monetize the platform and how much do you want to promote customer engagement. And I think Twitter, with Jack Dorsey at the helm, has always focused on the user experience almost at the expense of the investors, which creates an awesome product for customers, but leaves shareholders wanting a little bit more.
Yeah, and I love your point. It might have beaten the S&P, but there were things that, I mean, Google, as you give the example, beat it hands down. And I suppose the point is going to be, let's watch this new CEO. Can he perhaps find some other monetization? They've got the Twitter Blue, not available to us in South Africa, but a subscription service. And maybe that changes metrics. But for now, not a preferred. Gary Boyson, Rand Swiss, always appreciate the early morning time. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.